Hello and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoons, the weekly podcast that revisits, reviews, and ridicules some of the world's weirdest animated series. I'll be your host, Dave Trumbore. With me today, as always, man, he has got some stinky pits. It's Sean Paul Ellis. How's it going, sir?
David, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good, buddy. It's just going to be a Dave and Sean show tonight.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to get intimate.
Just two guys just hanging out talking about cartoons.
Two guys watching kids' cartoons, maybe drinking some beers.
Two guys. Oh, yeah. You know what? We should say this is the final of our New Year's Nicktoons.
Ooh, it is. That's sad.
So
at least this round. This round.
For this round, exactly. Because there are plenty more Nicktoons that we have not even begun to get into.
Yep.
And that's exciting.
It is,
But I'm gonna raise a glass right now and cheers to you, David, for the last 5 weeks of New Year's Nicktoons. Congratulations,
clink of the
long
glasses.
Distance digital clink.
Yeah, congratulations. Now this has been fun. I think this is a good idea to do the New Year's Nicktoons. If we are still running next New Year's, we can go do the next wave of them. And honestly, we'll be getting into some territory that I don't really even know.
Ooh, like dangerous territory.
Yeah, danger zone. We'll get into some jungle regions with the wild thornberries, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like Kenny Loggins for me.
Yeah. What?
Danger zone.
Oh, danger zone. Oh, it took me a second. I was like, wait a minute. Kenny Loggins had a nickname. I watch a Kenny Loggins nickname.
Fun fact, Kenny Loggins owns pretty much a majority of the Amazon rainforest.
Oh, how about that? And this podcast. He is a major stakeholder in Saturday Morning Cartoons. Hey, a while ago, we were trying to remember the Nicktoon that was... we kept saying, like, Team Rocket or, like, Rocket Power or something like that. It might be Rocket Power. I think it's Rocket Power. I think that's the one.
Well, oh, the... yeah.
Does that
actually
sound right?
It is... I wrote it down. I have it in my notes. Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Yeah, I almost said Rocket Squad,
it is Rocket
and I was like,
power.
Wait a minute,
Dummy,
that's
power.
Not right. Okay, it's Rocket
It is Rocket Power because I don't know if you're aware of this, but the same production company that put together this week's cartoon also put together Rocket Power as well as Told by Ginger and the Wild Thornberries.
I don't know As Told by Ginger. That's going to be an interesting one.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like... for me, it was sort of like a Pepper Ann
ripoff.
Yeah,
that's
or maybe
I figured.
Maybe
yeah.
Not a Pepper Ann ripoff, but I mean, again, it's one of those great shows that stars like a solid female lead and just kind of explores things from a woman's point of view. And let's be honest, we're two dudes talking about cartoons, so I mean, we appreciate somebody else's viewpoint because
we'll bring a lady in for that one because
we
don't know what we're doing.
I love that we're just like the solution to figuring this out is we're just going to bring in a woman. Like we're just going to bring in a woman. Who's
we're
gonna
not even
educated.
Going to put on airs. She'll just run the show.
Oh no.
Yeah, that's
oh
how
boy.
Works.
Oh my God, Dave.
But before
what?
We get there.
Ooh, I'm like extending my shirt collar like an old vaudeville like joke that's bombed.
I like it.
Yikes.
That's every week on this show. I'll tell you what, though. Speaking of strong female characters, the one on this show tonight, and actually maybe one and a half, which we'll talk about in a second, but the one female character on this show I was always a really big fan of. I was also a very big fan of the voice actor behind the scenes. Got some distressing news today about her, which we will talk about once we get into the characters of the show. So, not to bring it down, but I was kind of disappointed and depressed by that. I had no idea that she had passed, unfortunately. She had passed. So,
yes.
Yeah.
So we should explain what show we actually did watch this
week.
Yeah,
that's probably a good idea. You want to take that one?
I want to do it where I scream the intro, but
I figured you could do that because I
can. We watched Real Monsters this week.
I would do it like a Real Monsters. Like
I like that your intro is just like, I'm bored.
It's like, I guess they're real monsters, whatever.
Hey, Real Monsters.
Ech. No, it's great though. I really enjoyed it. But you want to tell the folks what it was about a little bit? I don't know. Wherever the spirit takes you.
Oh yeah, sure. So the All Real Monsters was animated by the production company that we mentioned previously. Mm-hmm. I believe it was Klasky.
Klasky Supo is how I've
Supo.
Always said it. Yeah, because that's Gabor Supo or Supo Gabor, however
right,
it's
right,
said.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Klasky Supo for Nickelodeon. So fun fact, they did Rugrats.
Right.
They were the production company behind Rugrats. And around the time that like the first wave, the first three Nicktoons were kind of wrapping up.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess maybe Rocco had aired at that point because this ran from October 30th of 1994 to December 7th of 1997.
Mm-hmm.
So four seasons totaling 52 episodes total. the thing that I was reading about was that Klasky, they were kind of coming up, or they were trying to come up with like an idea for like whatever their next show was going to be, and they knew that like a lot of the shows that they had, like with Doug and Rugrats, those had people, and then Rocko's and Ren and Stimpy had animals, anthropomorphic right. animals, and they were just
real
like,
animals that existed. Yeah. They were just, you know, animated and stylized, yeah.
And they were just like, we need something different. Like, we need something that is not something that Nickelodeon has done before. And so they had sketchbook full of a bunch of like different, you know, monsters and stuff like that. And so this is what they pitched. And so this is what got picked up.
Yeah, it's actually one of my, I don't know if I want to say one of my favorites, because all these have a special place like in my memory and in my heart as a little kid. But this one was very different. I mean, they're as different from each other as can be. But this, like Sean said, this is the first one that came up with real imagined. They came up with the imagined characters. It wasn't something that they just took inspiration from life.
I'd say this one is like really, really, I'd say this one is very imaginative.
Oh, definitely. Probably the most out of the five we've talked about, I think. Because everything else is kind of set in a realistic setting. And this one is to a point, but it's very stylized. And there's a lot of imagination going on. And there's a lot of just like kind of crazy energy, creative energy going on in every scene. There's always something going on. There's always something moving, whether it's in the background or whether it's the characters interacting with their environment. There's a lot of energy in each of the scenes, and that's what
that was actually. One of the notes that I wrote down about the show is I was like, every environment is completely edible.
Oh yeah.
To all of these, like,
because monsters eat anything, so it doesn't matter what it is.
It's like everything that's like in their surroundings. They're just like, oh, I'm just gonna take a bite out of this.
I'm
right
just gonna
now.
Eat
like,
that
this
piece
is, this
of
is
metal
delicious.
Can. Yeah. These roaches crawling around, this slop that just fell off of a truck. I'm just going to eat it. It's going to be tasty.
This is everything. Even if it comes out of another monster, they're just going to put it right back
in
the mouth.
There are scenes where they're just like other monsters are around this central monster who's talking, or he's the focus of the brief scene, and he's just like oozing green stuff, and they're just dipping chips into him like some sort of like bowl
like
of cheese dip.
Like he's guacamole or
oh, it's
like
amazing.
Some type
I
of salsa
I want to live
verde.
In that world where I'm like, I can just eat everything around me. I really do.
That was like the one moment where I don't know if I was not repulsed, but I kind of like cringed a little bit. I was like, ooh, God, that's
there are moments like that. Yeah, because you don't expect that to begin with. You don't expect them to interact with their environment like that, but you also don't expect them to just like eat each other's bodily secretions.
Right.
It's so disturbing, but in a fun, gross way that you can obviously see how it appeals to kids, just
right.
because it's so gross and it's funny. And I think that's just like a good staple of their humor in this show. Yeah, that's a good one.
I mean, if it's a continuing gag, I mean, it was super successful for
it's
them.
It's a continuing gag for Sean because he retches a little bit every time he sees it. Continuing gag.
Oh boy. You know, one of the things we mentioned that this went 4 seasons, 52 episodes, mm-hmm. And in kind of researching some of this for the show, we are now at, this is our 36th episode.
Correct.
That we are doing for
going
Saturday
strong.
Mornings, Saturday morning cartoons, Morning
yeah.
with you.
You could listen to us every day for a month and still have bonus episodes,
ooh,
my friends.
Bonus Jonas's.
Bonus Jonas.
So I was reading a little bit about this show, and I came across something that I have never come across in just sort of the research with this, and shame mm-hmm. on me for not coming up with it sooner. But there is evidently, so we have complained and lamented about the fact that many of the shows that we have watched have had like 65 episodes for one season.
Right.
And we've noticed it as like a reoccurring trend for a lot of the things that came out during the 80s and the early 90s.
Yeah, like pre-92 or 93. And honestly, I think maybe the Nicktoons might have been the first ones that kind of heralded in this new approach.
Right. And it was something that was just kind of like, I don't know, we kept seeing it consistently pop up, like Brave Star, 65 episodes, one season.
Right.
And there's an actual
not
reason
not great
for this.
Shows either. So it wasn't like based on the quality of the show, like, man, this is a great show, 65 episodes. It was just whatever with 65
episodes. Yeah, I mean,
episodes.
Come on, was it Spiral Zone hit 65?
Ooh,
I mean, like...
Somehow, they reached for it, but yeah, they got there.
Every episode was pretty much like a new yoga move for them. I mean, they were stretching the entire fucking time. Like, this is not great.
Nope.
So there is something that is evidently called the 65 episode cartoon rule,
right?
And it's many Western cartoon series. I'm reading from TVTropes.org. It says many Western cartoon series have had original runs lasting 65 episodes because 65 episodes equals 13 weeks or 3 months of material mm-hmm. that can be syndicated at one episode per weekday.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think we've mentioned that before. We probably just never really kind of connected those two sides of that, of that fact. We knew that it was airing every weekday, even though this show is Saturday morning cartoons, and most of these we remember as airing on, on the weekends. But yeah, a lot of these were just afternoon shows that they would come on when kids got home from school, and they'd be on Monday through Friday, a new show every day. And we just didn't really think about it. And then I guess in the 90s that kind of changed. And I think you got some tidbits on a couple of reasons why that may have changed.
So it looks like for a lot of the cartoons that were that were produced for like first run syndication, it was a policy that had been adopted by the Disney Channel, and I guess they have like this, and it was also adopted by Kids WB, and so it was something that they kind of had a lot of these shows that went, and it does specify. In a very particular fashion, that like this is for children's cartoons, not adult cartoons, like what I guess they would qualify The Simpsons as, because that's clearly broken the mold several times over. But for children's cartoons, it was like even for some of the Disney live action shows that they would do, like Even Stevens, those all when they hit 65 episodes, or even I think Lizzie McGuire. When those would hit that 65 episode mark, that heralded in like the end of the show. That was it. And so, at sometimes those shows, people were very frustrated with this rule and this idea because they would have built this following, they would have built this audience that they had, and then this was just kind of a rule that a lot of networks, had kind of put in place just to kind of be able to move some of this stuff out to syndication. To be able to bring in a new show and create a new audience. And so,
Yeah, it's just such a strange rule. I mean, I get wanting to have new content delivered every day and to, like you said, build that audience, but man, that's like inconceivable in this day and age of like tight production budgets, and there's just so much competition out there, just channel to channel, provider to provider, show to show. I can't even imagine somebody still having that rule today. I mean, yeah, it's been gone for 20 plus years, but it's just, I mean, it's crazy that like in our lifetimes that used to be the norm. Like they were just like, yeah, well, a Spiral Zone sounds great. Here's 65 episode order. Do what you can. And now it's just like you're lucky if you get a handful, if you get 12 or 13.
It's not even that. It's just for shows that at the time were doing, I mean, were finding their groove, like had fought to come back on at certain points, like Pirates of Darkwater and Exo Squad. Like, we only got like when they got like a couple episodes, like I think what was it, Exo Squad was like 20 something,
Say, yeah, 17,
and yeah, they
21, something
were
like that, some
like
odd
I
number.
think both Exo Squad and Pirates of Darkwater were in like the low 20s, and it was just like, man, like if you like I think the let me make sure I get this correct.
Uh-oh.
Had I
Here
gotten
comes
the
some
65
facts.
episodes for a lot of these shows, I kind of always wonder like would I have gotten tired of them in the way that I kind of grew sick of Spiral Zone, because I mean, as Dave mentioned, like for a lot of the time, like when they're slashing budgets and they're doing these different things, and they're trying to make as much money as they can, and so then trying to make as much product as they can, and
Yeah,
so
and the
there are
profit margins on that
sacrifices.
too. That's probably why they changed to this model too. So it's like they look at their margins and they're like, are we gonna cop, commit to a 65 episode run of dedicating this studio and these talented creative folk to this for that whole time, or are we just gonna do it for a couple of weeks and see how it goes?
And I mean, you think about like you think about something like Pirates of Darkwater, where they were going to like a new location, they were sailing to a new locale like every week.
Yeah,
Like
you can't
with
reuse
Spiral,
those scenes,
yeah,
right?
with Spiral Zone, they were just like, oh, we're just gonna reuse every. I know I'm picking on Spiral Zone, but
That's
fuck
'cause it's
them. Like
terrible.
they just like fuck them. Like, but I mean, they just like they used things over and over. I mean, Voltron used things over and
Well,
over. I
that
mean,
was,
that
and
was.
that's why Japanese animation, I think, and man, we are getting like way off track, but I don't really care too much because this is a fun topic.
Let's
Probably
get
a good
into it.
topic for another whole episode, maybe with like a guest speaker or something that knows a bit more. But yeah, I mean, if you can reuse backgrounds or do the traditional kind of Japanese anime style of like a still background that you just kind of pan the camera across, so you have one drawing basically, and then you pan the camera across to make it look like you're animating the scene, and then build the animation in on top of that. That was kind of a way that a lot of the studios kind of got that done, and they saved a lot of money by doing it that way. And you can definitely pick it out, from episode to episode, if not show to show sometimes. But yeah, there's a lot of cool little tricks they did to like trim the budget and make their own style. And I'd love to just talk about style of different genres someday, but yeah.
I've recently started watching a particular Japanese anime very recently, and I've noticed a lot of times that like I used to read the manga for this, and now I'm watching Naruto, and
Oh, dude, I'm like up
yeah.
to the. I mean, I'm up to date with it now, as far as the Americans can be.
Okay.
So I'm caught up every new week, or every week I watch the new episode that comes out. So I'm
I
all
have a
caught up to
very good
that.
friend who's reading the manga, and
Nice.
the manga has now concluded
Exactly.
in
Right.
Shonen Jump. And so
But they
like
said there's
it's
still so much left for that one,
there
as far as
is,
the animated to go. Yeah.
there is, and like it'll be good, and it'll be a lot of fun to watch like everything going through its course.
Right.
But it's just nice to know that now there's like a there's a definitive end, and there's an ending that they can work and build towards. And
Yeah, and
I can
honestly,
appreciate that.
yeah, probably
But
my last
it's just
point. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh,
Sorry.
sorry. I was just gonna say, like, the one thing that I noticed is that like there are a lot of times where like they will obscure like somebody's like their mouth, or they will like so that you don't actually have to like animate lips
Oh,
moving,
yeah, definitely. Well,
or
like
it'll be the
Kakashi has his
back.
mask
It'll be
drawn
the
up the
back of
entire
Kakashi.
time.
Yeah, like, it'll be the back of Kakashi, and it's like he's talking, and it's like scrolling and panning up his back. And so like you don't see anything whatsoever. It's just everybody like freeze frame, like looking like ready to go. Like yeah, it's just. It's good, but I mean, at the same time, like I think kind of when you look at these things and you kind of, I don't know,
I don't know, man.
you apply
I
a
do like
critical eye to
the.
them. You're just like, oh,
Yes.
okay, this is what they're doing. Like, this is
Yeah,
the
this is
corner
their
that they're cutting right
cost-saving
now.
technique. Yeah, and I'd love to have a discussion someday about just like the different styles and techniques that they use for that, because that's
Yeah.
great. And honestly, like to draw it back to Real Monsters, like we were talking
Ah!
about the environment and how like active and alive it is. I don't think that they were like, oh, we definitely have to save. We have to save money on the budget for this, because they're just like, fuck it, let's animate everything. Everything's going to move. Everything's going to draw your attention to it. And it's going to be different every week. Maybe we should talk about what the show's actually about after that
Oh my
little aside. You want to
God.
talk? You want to tell folks about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So this show follows three young monsters who are
Yeah.
named Ikkis, Oblina, and Crum. They attend it's like an institute, like a college university for monsters that is
Right.
in the local city dump, and this takes place in New York City, which
Lots of
they,
trash.
yeah, yeah, I don't,
Lots of people to
lots of.
scare.
But I mean, like they reference like certain locations in New York City, like Empire State Building, in certain episodes, and so they're like, it's not very hard to tell exactly where they are. They're not hiding it like the Simpsons are hiding where they live. Like it's apparent.
What I didn't get, I saw that note too. What I didn't understand was that they said this university or this school is at the Fresh Kills landfill. Is that a real place? It seemed like a
I
real
don't know.
place,
I don't know.
because that sounds like a terrible, terrible place and
Fresh
terrible
Kills
name.
Land.
It's called the Fresh Kills Landfill, even though they don't like call it by name. That's what the wiki page list says. Fresh Kills Landfill. Yeah, creepy stuff. But hey, man, that's a great place for monsters to hang out. It's kind of like it reminded me of a little bit of like Monsters, Inc. or Monsters University, if you saw that. But obviously, like, 10, if not 20 years before that ever came out, because again, this was 94. Or,
I kind of wondered, like, when I watched this, like, because you quickly realize that, like, every episode revolves around. So they're in this monster college, and so they're learning how to scare humans, and so all of the episodes really kind of revolve around them being tasked with some assignment to go out and scare like a human, or sometimes they scare animals, and so it's just. That's like the beginning of like every episode is them sort of like, or maybe not the beginning of every episode, but that's
Well, but
like
it's like the
the
central plot or the
yes.
central kind of conflict
Or
for every
at
episode.
least like in some way leads to like the madcapped adventure that they have
Yeah,
as a part of
exactly.
it, so.
And yeah, I mean, so we mentioned the characters of the show. I don't know. Do you want to talk about sort of their description now, or do you want to get into the intro first before we get to the description? So
Yeah,
people,
let
I want
me
them to have
so
a good, strong visual idea, if they're not familiar with these characters, of who we're
Right.
talking about and what they look like, because each of them has a really cool design and they're
Yes.
very unique. So I like that, but.
So the one thing I know that we've talked a lot about, different theme songs, for this was more of a hybrid. There were certain elements, I think, of this theme song that seemed like it was made just for
Yeah.
this intro, and then there were also some clips that were put in. So it is a true hybrid in that in that sense. And so it's fun. It's a lot of fun to watch, and I enjoyed the theme song. I don't know that it really, like, set me up.
No.
Per se, for, like, what was going to happen. Like, there was no introduction of characters. I mean, there was just a lot of, like, moving stuff. Like,
yeah, just,
flashing.
Like, montage clips of, yeah, things running around. Yeah.
But the thing that is... Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No. This is where you're headed, because I was going to say, you know, it's not a hybrid just visually. It's also a hybrid, you know, the audio quality of it, because it's kind of a musical interlude with some sound effects and stuff thrown in. But there's one very specific one that we wanted to draw your attention to.
So at the very end, there's kind of like this like pained scream. And if you've ever watched like any of the Indiana Jones movies
or any movie,
pretty much any movie, there is like a famous sound bite of a man screaming that they've used countless times in probably hundreds and hundreds of movies.
Oh yeah.
That like, if you were to listen to it, you'd be like, oh my God, like this is that scream. Like this makes sense. And it's called the Wilhelm scream.
Mm-hmm. And so if you Google that, you can find like just YouTube clips that are probably hours long of just the scream in different scenes over and over and over and over again. Famous ones, like he mentioned, like Indiana Jones, Star Wars.
Right.
There's a lot of old Westerns and stuff that use it. Every time somebody fell off a horse, they would just cue that scream up, or fell off a
like
bridge. It didn't matter.
Like
you would know when
worst.
You heard it.
Yeah.
You would know.
Don't listen to my terrible
rendition. This is
going to
be Sean's new scream. I hope somebody recorded that out there, and they're just going to use it in all their indie videos from now on.
David, I'm recording it. We're recording it right now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
$1 million idea.
Yeah.
Take that, you jerks. We're going to have it first.
We're going to have it worst.
Yeah.
So so the Wilhelm scream is like this very notable scream. And so when I was watching the intro, I was just like, oh my God, like, are they using the Wilhelm scream?
Yeah. Cause that's like a fun thing for producers and sound designers and stuff to do, is try to sneak that into TV shows or movies and try to get it past the director, because it's a very kind of like canned sound that's been around for 60, 70 years almost.
You know,
so
and just after our conversation last week with Tony, like learning a little bit more about Foley, it was just like, I'm curious to, I want to know what this sound effect is. Like I'm curious to know what they used. Turns out there is a second scream.
A second scream?
There's a second scream. There's a second shooter. And so like I had never heard of this, but there is another scream that they will typically use as a sound effects, and it is called a Howie scream.
Howie, yep.
And like I'm kind of blown away, because like at first listen, I was like, this is a Wilhelm scream. Holy crap. Like I'm excited about this. And then we found, we'll post this on our Tumblr and our site, the link to this, but there is like a whole, we found a couple articles that are very interesting that just kind of go through and sort of discuss the difference between the Wilhelm as well as also the Howie scream. And so,
and one of the ways that they actually make that difference apparent to the listeners out there is by using this very introduction. They use this show's intro, which I don't know if that's how Sean stumbled upon it or not, but they use it. That's their little evidence for like, oh, you've heard the Howie scream. It's in this intro. So
it's brilliant. It sounds great. Like, you know, if you're listening to it, you're like, that is a very notable scream. Holy crap. Is that, no, it's not. Like, I don't know. I was kind of shocked as I was reading more about it today that I didn't know about this earlier.
I mean, I knew the Wilhelm. I think everybody kind of did that, but I didn't know that there was a Howie out there.
I didn't know that there was an actual Wilhelm scream until until maybe I was in like late in college, like right before I graduated.
Oh, sure.
I went to a concert, I think, down at Duquesne with my sister in Pittsburgh, and one of the bands was called the Wilhelm Scream.
Really?
And I was just like, oh, like what is this? And I was blown away. I was like, this is an actual thing? And they're like, oh yeah. Oh my God, like. I mean, they were cool people, and it opened up my mind to like something that I'd never heard of before. So
yeah,
it was
something that I had heard, and for some reason that in my mind I combined the Wilhelm scream with the famous painting of the scream,
and I'm like,
oh yeah, that was totally Wilhelm's scream. Like yeah, famous impressionist painter Wilhelm painting his scream. I'm like, no, you dummy, these are two very different things. You uncultured fuck. But yeah, I mean, if you look for the Wilhelm scream, the lore of it's pretty cool, because they don't know the name of the like extra or the stunt actor who actually did it the first time, and they just happened to catch it while they were recording on studio. And he might have actually been falling off a horse. I don't remember what the actual story was, but
I feel like almost for the length of time that he's screaming for the Wilhelm scream. I feel like whatever the person was doing, it ended tragically.
Yeah, like maybe that's why we don't know his name, because they didn't want to get sued for killing an extra on set.
This is like Hollywood's way of like covering up the body. They're just like, you don't want to know how the sausage is made.
That's right, because we made that guy into sausage.
Yeah, you're gonna enjoy the sausage. Just enjoy the sausage, all right, guys.
It's catered.
Don't worry about it. It's craft services.
It's craft services sausage. Yeah. Wilhelm's sausage. Can we open up a sausage? I almost said sausage factory. Can we open up a sausage company called Wilhelm's
Sausage? Dave, we can totally open up a sausage factory. Yes.
It's Sean and Dave from Saturday Morning
Cartoons. I've been
waiting
for you to say that. I'm so excited about this endeavor.
Well, it's recorded now, so I can't back out of that one.
Sorry, you were saying.
Oh, dear. I have no idea what I was saying, to be honest with you.
You were saying, can we open a thing?
No, I pretty much, I just wanted to open a sausage factory, so it's all good. Well, called Wilhelm Sausage.
Wilhelm Sausage.
Mm-hmm. And I'll never remember how we came up with that idea, like anything else.
Can it be something where it has, like, one of those boards where, like, one of those, like, sandwich boards where it's been, like, it's been X number of days since our last accident?
Absolutely, we can.
And every time there is an accident, we play the Wilhelm scream.
That sounds good. I'll definitely do that. As long as it is a factory in which I—that was really good—in which I can eat everything. I want to be able to eat everything. It's going to be an edible factory.
Edible factory. Well, I mean, to bring this back to Our Real Monsters, pretty much everything that was in the environment is edible. So you should make it in a city dump.
Yeah, you should, because everything there is rotting and it's been thrown out already, so it's just kind of free for the taking. Oh, and there's lots of little creepy crawlies that populate the entire place, so you can just eat everything. I'm going to ask you now, of our three characters, who's your favorite? And then we'll get into the descriptions of them.
Oh my gosh. You know,
it's a tough one, because they're all pretty strong.
It's hard. Like, I really like Crumb.
Yeah, I'm with you.
That's like, one of the biggest things... so we should explain the design for Crom.
Right.
He is. How did you explain this earlier?
Oh, like
No. He's sort of like a torso, but the torso is his entire mouth, like two stubby legs, two stubby hands, and each hand holds one of his eyeballs.
Yeah. So he's constantly just got his armpits exposed, his hands in the air, holding his eyeballs up. You know, and they blink even though they don't have lids. And he can kind of throw them around. He likes to just juggle them or just roll them across the floor or whatever.
Juggle them eyes.
But he's also a little naked, hairy man.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good description.
He's a little naked, hairy man. He's basically if Danny DeVito was a monster, more of a monster than he is.
Thank you.
If he was less troll and more real monster, this would be Danny DeVito.
Yeah. I think the thing that really made me fall in love with Crumb with watching it this time was that he completely accepts who he is.
Oh, totally.
Like, there is nothing, like, I'm so jealous of the fact that he is 100% comfortable with the person he is.
He's only got one kind of flaw, and it has to do with his smell, his body odor. And we'll talk about that once we get to the episode discussion. But yeah, he's 100% confident in who he is. And he's not like a jerk. He's just kind of like he likes to have fun. He's a free, you know.
He's the kind of person that, like, if you were ever in, like, in down spirits or you were upset and, like, you just hang out with him, he'd just be like, hey, man, everything's cool. Like, don't worry about it.
Like, it could be, like, the worst situation. He would just kind of, like, laugh and just find, like, a silver lining kind of thing in it. And he's not, like, overly, you know, he's not overly peppy or happy or optimistic. He's real chill. He's a little naked, hairy dude that's holding his eyeballs. And he's just out for a good time. And he's great.
There are, like, multiple times where people will tell him that, like, he smells or that he stinks or that he's, like, the stinkiest and that he's disgusting. And every time they say it, he just 100% accepts it as if they're paying him a compliment. Yeah. And, I don't know about you, Dave, but, like scent is very important for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I shower. I like to smell good. I don't like to go. I'm not somebody who
You're not a crumb.
Yeah, I'm not a crumb. I feel disgusting if I go like a day without a shower. Like that is
you and me both.
Something that I just don't like to do. Like personal hygiene is super up there for me. And so like with Crumb, like to see somebody just be like, "Oh yeah, I'm totally gross and disgusting." I like I would cringe, but Crumb is just like, oh yeah, that's exactly who I am. Like, I'm the filthiest of the filthy. Like,
and it's funny, they play it up from both sides. So it's not only like he's proud of being dirty and having this like powerful odor, and everybody in the monster world kind of like, yes, they congratulate him on that, and they're just like, oh God, you stink, fantastic. And he's like, oh, thank you so much. But they also play it up the other end. Like, at one point he often gets like cleaned against his will. Like, there's a point where they're like, we should probably get you a shower, and he's like, oh no, we're not gonna do that.
Oh no, that's a bad idea.
Oh, that's a bad idea, I don't shower. Or he gets like accidentally thrown into a car wash, or in one episode there's a curse that, you know, afflicts his family. And he actually loses his smell for a time being. So like, that is his only kind of like his kind of sore spot, his kind of his one thing that if he loses, he's lost all sense of identity. If he loses his sense of scent, his sense of odor, because everything else is like free spirit, easygoing guy. But he just has great lines, and he's got a great energy, and he's got a really cool design that they don't just design these monsters and then leave it at that. They're not just like, oh, here's your character. They do things throughout the episode. Like I said, he'll be sitting there, and maybe he won't be talking at this point, but he'll be in frame and he'll just start juggling his eyeballs just for no reason. And I love the stuff like that, just the attention to detail and the energy in each scene. They always have them doing something. He's always throwing his eyes around. You'd think maybe he'd want to keep them a little closer to home, because they're all he's got. But no, he didn't care. He just throws them around, lets people play with them, whatever.
Like, I mean, he will hold them like in his mouth on many occasions.
Yeah, if he's got to use his hands, you know.
You know, he will use them surprisingly well for like recon. To like, you know, get around the drone.
Exactly.
Yeah, like,
exactly.
It's crazy, so it's pretty cool. So
yeah, so we
I
like
think,
Crumb.
Yeah, so we really like Crumb. So we really like Crumb.
I would have to say probably the opposite of Crumb, because Crumb is confident. He's very sure of himself.
Yes.
He knows who he is and what he's capable of and what his limitations are. The opposite has to be Ickes.
Yes.
Oh, and I'd like to say real quick that Crumb, great voice, voiced by David Eccles. I just had to mention that. Ickes is voiced by Charlie Adler, who you would recognize from a number of other voice roles, but he's got kind of this high-pitched, kind of squeaky, kind of unsure, underconfident as much as Crumb is overconfident, and just, like, really not sure of himself at all. He's a scaredy cat, or a scaredy bunny, because he's basically just like a red... He looks like a red bunny.
Yeah, he looks just like a red... Kind of like a big red, long-eared...
Yeah.
Kind of like hoop-skirt bunny.
Yeah, he's a weird-looking creature, and they make fun of him constantly within the show. That, you know, kids are always mistaking him for, like, a stuffed bunny, or, you know, other monsters are picking on him because of his big ears. And he's not really frightening. He's probably the smallest of the crew. He's not really, you know, there's nothing about him that's just like, oh, that's a real monster. Like, he's just kind of...
He's just jittery, and he's nervous. And,
he's like Mike from Monsters, Inc. Like, he's not... Except Mike was, like, way overconfident because he was overcompensating. So Ickes is kind of like Mike without that overconfidence. So he's just... He's struggling, man. And when we see him in this show, he's struggling to get through school and to do things right and to not get in trouble. But at least he has his two friends with him, though, too. I mean, they get him through a lot of stuff. And they all work really well together. Yeah.
And rounding out the trio
is
Oblina, and she was voiced by Christine Cavanaugh.
The late Christine Cavanaugh, unfortunately.
God.
It makes me so sad. She passed, I mean, man, it was about a month ago. Not even, or it was a little bit more than a month ago. And I had no idea. I was doing the recon kind of on this show, and I knew she had voiced Oblina. I knew I was, you know, a big fan of her work in other cartoon. I had no clue that she had passed. I just checked out her IMDb page, and she was like, you know, dead at 51, which is insane.
Yeah.
So, unfortunate. We'll raise a glass to Miss Cavanaugh out there. But Oblina. Did you like Oblina's design?
I did. I thought it was always very interesting and very weird. You know, the thing that's unique about the character design for this show is that, like, Oblina and Crumb... Like, Oblina had, like, the ability to, like, change shape, and she could change color, and she could kind of really, like, kind of augment her body as much as she would want.
Yeah, easily, like, the most talented of the scarers, at least of these three. Yeah.
She was kind of like the Hermione of this game.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, if you could translate this over to Harry Potter fairly easily,
really,
just without a heroic
really
lead.
Could.
Yeah.
So, like, she just, she's very intelligent, she's
Yeah, she's kind of well off too. I think she comes from like a wealthy monster family, whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which you can tell by her pseudo British accent, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So she you know, and she looks like a barbershop black and white kind of candy cane.
Yeah. Yeah.
With
Some
like
sometimes like a
with
snake,
yeah,
kind of snakish.
with giant red lips
Right.
and sort of like greenish eyes with like stunningly amazing eyelashes. Like
Yeah,
she
fantastic eye. That's
girl.
how you knew she was a lady monster.
Yeah, that's how she was a lady monster.
That's how you knew.
So
You knew
we
Crumb
should
was a boy monster because of his stinky, hairy armpits, and I know Blaina
Yeah.
had the eyelashes, so it was good.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I mean, for a lot of the other like background cast, like
Oh, man.
I think with for a lot of them, it was very hard to in some I mean in some you can either like spot on tell exactly what the gender was, but there were
Right.
a couple where like when you would watch, you'd just be like, what are they like, you could only really tell sometimes, I think, because of like the voice actor who was
Or the
behind it.
context, yeah.
Right.
And some of
And
them even
so
switched. There were a couple. There was like a rotating face monster that was like kind of androgynous. You couldn't tell if like
yeah.
one face was male and one was female, or if they were both just whatever.
Tranny monster.
Tranny monster. Ooh,
Don't
speaking of.
let that monster you know, conform to your gender congruent or congruency. Like, the monsters can be whatever they want.
You can't
Like,
label these monsters, man.
can't
They're
even go
real
hunt
monsters.
them.
You can't
Like,
label them.
there's one monster called Frunk.
Yes.
He's like a trash can. He's the guy that kind of just like leaks
Yeah.
green goop all
He's the
over that we
guacamole
mentioned.
monster.
Yeah,
Yeah.
he's the guacamole monster. Yes. So like he continually oozes, and people just like dip chips and like pita
Yeah.
chips
And he's
into
cool with
him.
it.
Like, yeah, he loves it. Who
Yeah, he didn't
cares?
care. But I love the design of all like the background ones too. There's the one we
Yes.
definitely need to talk about, but
Is it Slime Bucket?
no, I
Who's
actually
an
want to
who
talk
is
about
a
one.
literal slime
He's
bucket?
just a bucket of
He's just
slime
a
that
bucket
they
of
just call
slime.
Slime Bucket. No. You'll know who I'm talking about in a second. But I love the background design. I actually had a chance to go to Pixar when they were working on Monsters University, and just talking to the animators and the storyboard artists and just the creative team that was behind that. They were like, "Look, Monsters Inc. was awesome, but we really needed to expand the world." And we needed more monsters in the background because of this. And of course, they have a couple hero monsters that they do special things on screen that like catch your attention. But they've got a cast of like hundreds, if not thousands, that are just walking around in the background. And the way they did it was interesting. They basically took like they broke each monster down into a set of categories, and then just combined them all in different permutations to get almost like an
Huh.
unlimited supply of monsters. So it was
Oh,
kind of like
that's really cool.
legs or wings or like a slime trail. Versus, one eye, two eyes, four eyes, things like that. And All Real Monsters kind of had the same technique. There were a lot of like multi-limbed or multi-eyed monsters. There were a lot of ones that moved around in different ways, ones that looked like bugs, ones that looked like nightmares. There was a lot of creativity behind the scenes. And each of those monsters, I feel like, got their personality in these tiny little like joke scenes. Like, I remember one in particular, the teacher, who we'll talk about in a second, asks a question. He's like, "Okay, who's next?" And you see all these hands start waving, and then the camera kind of like pans out, and it's all the hands that are waving belong to one little monster. So it's just one monster with like 10 hands, which I just thought was funny. It's a neat little joke. The guy probably doesn't have a name, but he gets a little moment there. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this teacher?
Oh my gosh. Let's talk about the
Let's
grumble.
talk about the
Let's talk
grumble.
about the grumble.
Is it a lady? Is it a man? Nobody
Yeah,
knows.
it seems masculine in voice and I want to say authority,
Yes.
but he
But
wears
almost like a headmistress
red.
sometimes too.
Yeah, but he wear like correct me if I'm wrong, he wears like red high heels on each of
Each
his
of his
four
four
feet.
feet, yeah. He's got a beard and a
He's
tail,
got
but
a
he's got like
beard.
a cinched belt around his waist and four
Yeah.
high heels. So I don't really know what's
It's like
going on with
it's
the
like an
grumble.
empire waist on his slightly centaur body. Like, it's
Yeah.
just it's
It's
interesting.
weird, but it's a great
It's
character. I mean,
a great character, it's a great design.
it's great writing. It's the voice, and I think the dialogue and the writing, and just like the power he she wields over all the students, because everybody like respects and fears the Grommble, because it's a great scarer. But also, they're in charge of this entire school. So you better respect them too, and you better fear them because they can make your life a living hell if you screw up.
Well, because he can send you to the school disciplinarian.
Ah, the Snorch.
Yes, the Snorch.
Which honestly, like the character design of the Snorch is probably my least favorite.
Oh, okay.
It's just kind of like.
Well, we should mention that the Snorch.
Yeah.
Kind of is wearing like a, he kind of looks like a big, broad, muscular kind of bully, but without like, because of the t-shirt, there's like very little definition.
Exactly. So he's kind of wearing like a green
version of like Rocco's shirt.
Yeah. I feel like Rocco threw away his shirt in the dump, and over the years, the Snorch just stitched enough of them together to make his own.
And the Snorch is, he kind of looks like a bulldog a little bit, like his face,
yeah.
Like a bulldog with like kind of like longer, kind of like sad dog ears.
He's kind of trollish. He's got a little troll to him, or ogre or some kind of, there's just not a lot of interesting. I mean, we've talked about, you know, Crumb's really interesting design, Ickis and Oblina, and then the Grommble, and then the Snorch is just kind of like, he's just this big lumbering thing. Yeah. The only thing that I think is interesting about him, other than
how people react to him, is his little friend.
His little buddy Zimbo.
So Zimbo is, it is amazing. Like Tim Curry.
Yes.
God, he's the best.
He really is.
Let's
get him on the show. Come on, Mr. Curry. We know you're listening.
Tim Curry does the voice for Zimbo. So Zimbo is a like one-legged kind of like bee
thing,
like humanoid thing.
It's
that
weird.
If
your head turned into a bumblebee.
Yes.
And then the rest of your body from the neck down was just one kind of hairy leg.
Yes.
You would be Zimbo.
That would be Zimbo.
See what I mean by unique and interesting? Like,
really kind of cool. But, like, you know, and the, like, I guess to draw like a parallel, like if this was like a pirate, like the pirate would be the Snorch, and maybe like the parakeet would be Zimbo.
That's good. I like
Zimbo
that.
Just kind of like perches on the shoulder, and he kind of just like, he talks very fast. I don't know if I can do like what his. Can you do like a Zimbo dance?
No, I mean, I only got to watch the one where Ickis gets sent to the Snorch kind of as like a punishment, as a detention kind of thing.
It's kind of like, no, what do you want? I'm going to be here.
He tries to be like an Italian merchant kind of thing. That's what he does. But I feel like Curry was probably working out that particular character at the time. But
yeah,
it's an interesting take on it, I think. Maybe being in New York at the time, he was just kind of like a immigrant monster from a different world. Who knows? But an interesting design, and cool that he was, you know, to Sean's point, like the parrot to the pirate, it would be like if the pirate was just its muscle and the parrot was actually the brains of the operation. So to me, it's more like, oh my God, Master Blaster. From Mad Max. That's kind of what it's like.
It's like a really weird, like, I think the thing that is the most interesting for me about like the Snorch in general is just that like the idea of getting snorched is so frightening to these monsters.
Right. It's like they are the scarers, but there still is something that scares them. Yeah.
Right. And so like it's kind of, it's interesting to see what their vulnerability is.
Right.
And be exposed to that. It's just, it's slightly, like, when you finally realize what the Snorch is doing, you're kind of like, all right. Like, I don't know. I because they talk about, like, the Grommble introduces and talks about, like, different, like, types of punishment.
Right.
And so, like, even from, like, the first episode out to maybe make a transition.
Definitely,
like, the first episode out, like, he mentions that, like, so the idea for this, the first episode is called The Switching Hour. Mm-hmm. And it is Halloween. And Halloween is clearly a monster's biggest holiday for them to go out and scare the shit out of kids.
That's what it reminded me of, too, was Nightmare Before Christmas, because there were elements of that to it, too. But continue.
And so the Grommble, because of how, I guess, poorly everybody has been doing, like, in class, as a punishment, everybody is sentenced. They are banned. They are banned. From going out, from venturing out to going out and participating in Halloween, like the biggest holiday they are just like told like, nope, can't do it. And so he goes through this thing and he goes, if you go out, he goes, there's something bad, something really bad, or something you even want to know about.
Yeah, and he's just going like, through these things as like,
oh my God.
It's almost like, what was the old game show where it was like, what's behind door number one kind of thing?
Oh, let's make a deal.
Let's make a deal, yes.
Like, it's very much let's make a deal.
But like in like a hell
let's
dimension.
Make a deal with your hell.
Exactly. But I loved it because the first one was like this machine that looked like it would chew you up. The second one was kind of more of the same. And then the third one was just this like this, you know, fairy tale looking house.
Like a Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the witch's house.
And that was the worst one that they were all like terrified of. So they have a lot of fun with things like that. Like even in one scene, Ickes, he thinks he's going to get in trouble with the Grumble. And he's like, oh man, the Grumble, if he catches me, he's going to put me in the trash compactor. And he's like, and that's only fun the first time. So it's like stuff like that they play with because it's like, things that would probably be terrible for us, the monsters kind of enjoy it, even though sometimes maybe it's not the best thing. But then it's things that are like sweet, things that are saccharine, things that should be pleasant to us are absolute torture to the monster. So I like how they play with that kind of idea. Right. It's a lot of fun.
I mean, it's like a good, you know, inverse of behavior, exactly. Kind of like what our expectations are. And so like it's fun to see that like they are so, because we should mention that like, the Snorch, when you get punished by the Snorch.
Oh, do you want to ruin it for people? Do you want to spoil it?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think we should. I, yeah, I mean, I think we should get into it. Because, I mean, like, we've
talked
enough about...
It's been around for 20 years, people, get to watching it. Yeah. You can watch it on Amazon.
Spoiler, if this is seriously a spoiler alert to you, what the fuck are you doing? We've told you that we're going to be watching this show. Get with the fucking program.
We've had 35 episodes to prep you for this, so... Guess what? The dude in Bravestar, that kid fucking dies because he overdoses.
Ooh.
Spoiler alert.
That guy that took Crystal Twist, he lived.
Crystal Twist.
Oh, boy. Yeah. So the punishment for the Grumble is that you go down into the Grumble's lair, and like I want to say they do preface this with... It's the second episode. It's called Monsters Get Real.
Right.
/ Snorched If You Do, Snorched If You Don't. And,
which I love that Crumb says that title. I love anytime you say the title of something in the episode, but yeah, Crumb says that, and then he just kind of laughs and farts.
I honestly get a little annoyed when it happens, but I mean, like, I this was something where I was
when
just
it's
like,
Crumb,
oh.
It's fine because he makes it funny, and he's just kind of like, oh, there it is. All right.
But so long story short.
Mm-hmm.
Ickes leaves his monster manual in this boy's room that he was attempting to scare, but the boy ended up scaring him.
Right.
And so he gets sent to the Snorch, and there's evidently, it's like taking a ticket at a deli counter. There was such a long wait.
Or the DMV or whatever.
Yeah, that he's going to be there forever. And so Oblina and Crumb come to his rescue, and they go out and they rescue the book.
Right. They find the book and bring it back. Yeah.
So, right. So they bring the book back, or what they think is the book,
right.
And they bring it and they hand it to Ickes right as he's about to go in for his punishment. And the Grumble is there, and there's like a little bit of a kerfuffle because they're just like, do we punish him for this thing? Because now he's like, they've made it right, but the Snorch is very shitty in the sense that he's like, Ickes is still going to get his punishment because he left his book behind.
Yeah, this
but
is
now
all
also,
Zimbo talking pretty much. Snorch is just kind of like growling and just looking really
yeah, we should say that like Snorch just does nonstop recycled Foley.
Yeah, that's about it. He's like Muzzy from the Learn How to Speak French tapes. Which only 10 of you listening will remember. But he's basically Muzzy.
Oh, I know what that is.
I know. I knew you would.
Son of a bitch.
Somebody out there is laughing. Everybody else is like, get back to the monsters.
Get back to the monsters.
Talk about Ickes.
So the Grumble, instead of rewarding Oblina and Crumb, punishes them for doing another monster's assignment.
Exactly.
And sends all three of them to be snorched. And you very quickly find out that being snorched is simply, it is Zimbo and it is the Snorch, and they sing soprano opera,
right?
Where like the Snorch wears kind of like that like Bavarian woman,
he's got the horns
and like the kind of like Viking bra over top and like the Viking spear, and then he just begins singing, and that's like, and then it's just like blackout, like, and that's it.
That was cracking me up though, because they did it over the credits too. So like Zimbo will be actually like singing, and the snorch has the same sound effect he uses over and over again. He's just like brarp, brarp, brarp. It's such a weird sound. Nah, like, stop. And they just use it over and over, and they make no excuses of like trying to make him sing at all. He's just brarp.
Yeah, they just don't seem to give a shit at all.
But it's a lot of fun, man. I mean, the snorch was fun. Do you want to get into the episodes a little bit here? Just kind of give them a high view.
Sure.
Of it, but...
Yeah, I mean, we kind of gave them episode 2. And we should mention that all of these are available on Amazon Prime.
Yes,
so,
yes, in order too, which is nice.
And yeah, which is surprising.
Yeah.
So the switching hour is the
intro. That's kind of, was it a pilot or was it just the first episode?
I think it just. I didn't see anything that credited as a pilot. No. It was clearly the pilot episode being the first, but I mean, they just kind of like threw everybody like right into the world. So, we talked a little bit about it, about like the Halloween.
So eventually the trio, you know, the Grumble tells them, no, everybody's grounded, but it's Halloween night. And these are basically like high school, college age monsters. So they're like, no, we're getting out. We're going to go out. We're going to go scare and we're going to have a good time. We just won't get caught. Yeah.
The big thing, or like the big question that I kind of have about this entire show, in general, not just this first episode pilot, is that like the Grumble, like how they... It's the delivery of their assignments.
Yes.
There is a machine in this Monster Institute that you sit in, and it's like placed over your head. It's sort of like what you would use, like if you were to like kill somebody by like electrocution.
Yeah, I was going to say, at first, when you're making it sound almost gentle when you're like, it's a machine that you sit in. It's like, no, there's these claws that just reach down and grab you from your chair.
It's these two, like, hand claws that jump down, and they're, like, retractable hands. They grab you, pick you up forcibly, throw you into a chair. There's wrist cuffs that go over top of both of your wrists.
It's very
traumatic. Straps you in. Yeah, and then there's, like, a bucket that kind of comes down on top of your head, and then it projects, it turns your eyes into a projector.
Yeah.
So that everybody can see what your thoughts were during the point in time that you were supposed to have done this specific assignment.
Yeah, it's almost like getting called up to class to stand in front of everybody and tell everybody about the chapter you read last night, except it shows it in, like, video form. So it is replaying your previous scare.
Can you imagine, like, if that had happened? Like, if you had, like, gotten up in front of, like, somebody, like, when you were a child, and they'd be like, all right, David, tell us about what you did last night. And you're just like, boner, 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 boner. Like, that would have been...
baseball, grandma.
Nuns.
Yeah, ooh, I don't know. Like, sometimes you get a thing for nuns. Might have a nun thing.
Hey, I'm not going to judge you.
Hey,
but
nuns, if you're listening. SaturdayMorningCartoons@gmail.com.
Hey nuns, if you're looking to break your vow of chastity,
oh dear, wow,
contact Dave.
Oh boy.
Cops.
Nuns. Can we start a cops sequel just called Nuns, please? About cyborg nuns in the future.
I really want to write this.
This is going to be so good.
Just every wipe is just going to be nuns. Oh, that's beautiful.
Habits.
That is so. Habits.
That nun sure got a bad habit. Oh boy. Oh, I had to do it.
Yeah, I know. I enjoyed it though.
Okay, let's bring this back.
But I'm very happy right now. there's this strange machine that kind of like shows exactly everything that they do. So like in my mind, like if anybody sets a rule out and is just like, don't do this thing, there's no, like, you literally cannot go and do that thing without having to potentially sit in that chair and they'll view whatever it was anyway.
Yeah, so that's kind of like the tension. It's not only like, here's your assignment, you got to go do this scare or scare at this level or this number of people. It's like, if he sets a ground rule, like, you cannot do this, and then, you know, nabs you the next day, like, you're going to get caught. So you just kind of have to hope.
Like, you
either don't do
fucked.
It, and you play, you know, you're the good kid, and you don't do it, and you do what you're told, or you just hope that you don't get caught. And I love how it turns around at the end of this episode, though. I mean, it's a lot of fun throughout the episode. Ickes, at the very opening, he kind of, like, He's in a trash can just eating, which I don't know why, because he lives in a dump. I don't know what he's doing in a trash can, but this kid finds him, and they kind of like scare each other away. And then the kid, this human kid, is inspired by Ickes, so he makes an Ickes costume. So of course, when everybody's out for Halloween night, those two end up switching places, and that's why it's called the Switching Hour. So Ickes ends up as like part of this family, this like human family that doesn't know this little creep monster is not their son. And then the Oblina and Crumb soon figure out that this is a human kid. This is not Ickes. But there's a lot of, you know, a lot of humor that goes. It's, you know, the classic kind of switched kid tale.
The old switcheroo.
The old switcheroo. The old twinsies. But yeah. So it's but fun. No, they have a lot of fun with it. But I think they don't try to teach lessons in this show, which I found refreshing. They don't.
Yes.
It's not a kid's show that teaches you lessons and just like rams it down your throat. Because basically at the end of this episode.
Yeah, you listening up, Doug.
Yeah, well.
Calm the fuck down.
Get your head out of your journal. Go root around the dump. But I mean, you know, they all have their pros and cons, their faults and their you know, shining points. But for real monsters, basically at the end of this episode, the Grumble is like, he calls out Oblina Crumb and Ickes. And you're watching this like, oh shit, they're about to get snorched, whatever that means. And he tells the rest of the monsters, he's like, look to these three because they are going to be the leaders of the future because they, you know, basically sacked up and they acted like real monsters. I think he actually says they weren't panty wastes in his dialogue. Yeah. He's like, they didn't act like a bunch of panty wastes and they went out and they had fun on Halloween. They still got punished, but he kind of like sort of rewarded them for being rebellious and being monsters and doing what they were supposed to do. I thought that was cool.
It's that situation where like an authority figure tells you not to do something, you do it anyway, and then the authority figure is just like, I'm so fucking proud of you.
Exactly. And that's
like,
such a great
such
thing.
A confusing, this is such a great and confusing message at the same time.
Right.
Like, I don't know how to interpret this, but I'm fine with it, I guess.
It's cool. Because it's one of those things where it's like, once you're in that position of authority, you realize like, okay, I'm responsible for you. I have to tell you to do this because it's the right thing. But if you do that, I'm going to be slightly disappointed. And if you go out and have fun or whatever, that's what you're supposed to be doing right now, even if it's a stupid thing to do. So I was like, if I was in your shoes, I'd be proud of you too. But I like that. I like that it was kind of like real with the kids and it wasn't trying to be a moral tale about monsters who lived in a dump. You know, they were just having fun. They were just kids out having fun and nobody got hurt really. So it's pretty cool.
I like that. That's your like cut. You're like, you know what? I liked it because like nobody got hurt.
Yeah, no,
you know?
None of these cartoons got hurt.
You know, normally when I watch a cartoon and somebody gets hurt, I'm not happy about it, but if somebody gets hurt.
Somebody gets the spiral plague. What the hell did they even call it? It doesn't matter.
The spiral.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
They get the plague.
Ooh,
but so we talked about, I just want to bring this back around to Ickes real quick. When we wrap this first episode up here. So we talked about Crumb was confident, Oblina was talented, Ickes was just kind of there. And he is the sort of main character that you're introduced to in this first episode. By episode's end, he gets so fed up with the humans that have kind of like kidnapped him, for lack of a better word. He gets so pissed off and so frustrated with them that he actually finds his kind of like inner monster. And he does what's called looming. Looming is, it runs in his family. His father was a very successful scarer. He comes from a long line of loomers. Looming is basically when you just kind of like swell
please
up.
Please tell me that it's like he like works a loom.
He just weaves a nightmare tapestry.
Nightmare.
And then just suffocates you with it.
Oh boy. So I'm sorry. Looming is what?
The other definition of looming, he basically looms large is what that amounts to. He swells up to like, you know, 10, 20 times his size. His eyes go blood red. His bunny ears get pinned back and his fangs grow in. And he just like fills up the entire room. And you usually see him a little bit in the transformation. And then you just see the reactions of the people as they're watching him. And you see kind of like his shadow just kind of grow over them.
Yeah.
And then they freak out and get the hell out of there. And he does that a couple times. But he always has trouble getting his confidence up to that point to kind of loom large.
Well, you know, he does mention like, and it was odd that I was taking notes as I was watching this episode.
Yeah.
But like I wrote down... it seems like this looming is more instinctual than anything else.
Yeah. It's
and then
reactionary.
And then he actually says, in one of the, in episode two, he actually says it is more instinctual, but I mean, I agree with you. Like it's like looming only comes about like when circumstances arise where he feels threatened or people that he's with are threatened.
Exactly.
And then he reacts accordingly. But until then, like, he just kind of remains skittish and meek.
And he struggles with that. That's kind of like his character struggle throughout the series. And they all have.
I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah, exactly. I wish I could loom, dude. We were talking about this offline. Like, don't you ever just want to loom when people are just frustrate you to the point that you just want to slap them, but you can't this day and age? So if you could just loom instead and not actually hit anybody, that'd be amazing.
Yeah. I would never hit somebody. I would want to loom and scare the crap out of them and then have them like run out of a room.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, all right, well, that was good. That was cathartic.
That was a good loom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, David, would you say that you recommend this show?
You know, I do. I honestly, we had a short week again this week. I wish we would have had more time to watch a few more episodes because they have some interesting characters that come in later on. There's Simon the Monster Hunter, who is a human who's obsessed with monsters and hunting them down and killing them basically as like trophies. So this comes up quite a bit later on in the series of the three monsters kind of running afoul of Simon and trying to escape from him because he wants to put their heads on the wall basically.
Yeah. He wants to prove to everybody that like monsters actually do exist.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of a fun thing they add in later on. And I mean, honestly, I would just watch it for a bit of a different take on a Nicktoon, for the character design, the humor and the writing that they really inject into this show, especially if you haven't seen it or you just think that like, oh man, all these Nicktoon, all this crap's for kids. Like, this wasn't an adult, you know, oriented cartoon by any means, but there were a lot of like kind of double entendre innuendo jokes that I didn't really get until I was a lot older. So it's fun to go back and watch. How about you? What do you think about this one?
Yeah, I would recommend this. Yeah. I would say I don't know that... I mean, I don't know beyond like the first couple episodes that this show would really super hold my attention. I guess like in comparison to the way that like some of the other...
Sure.
Like when I watched Ren and Stimpy like and I was just smiling like ear to ear... I mean, that was like a truly nostalgic moment for me. And I remember I watched a lot of Ah! Real Monsters growing up. And I enjoyed every minute of it. And I think for the same reason that you said, Dave, it's interesting to watch. Like I would recommend it for those reasons, but I think beyond a couple episodes, I don't know that I would be, some of it's a little bit formulaic.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of see where it's going.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Nothing's going to be surprising.
I don't know about that because they do have some monsters and characters that literally come out of the woodwork at different points.
Yeah, and there are some fun things that happen. Like I remember there was one episode, and I guess this is like Super Bowl relevant. They have one episode that's called The Great Wave, which is like during halftime for the Super Bowl, everybody runs and uses the restroom. And so monsters... like flood to the sewers to be able to kind of like surf.
I remember that.
Like surf all of our waste.
I think there's one like it's like Crumb's pimple or something where he like this thing pops out of him that's like a mini crumb and it just starts running around. I mean, it's just weird stuff.
So I mean, like there's a lot of like really interesting and unique stuff that's in it, and I think I'd have to hunt and peck for like those specific episodes.
Right.
I mean, I definitely recommend the show. It's definitely out of all the Nicktoons that we've watched, it's very unique. You know, there's a lot of things that are consistently surprising, if not some of it's a little bit formulaic, but I mean, like it would be still great to go back and watch it. And I mean, the three main characters that are in this show with the addition of the Gromble, like, I mean, that cast really kind of rounds out and makes like a very solid performance. And I mean, fuck, the show's got Tim Curry.
Exactly.
As a humanoid,
well, and all those other voice
like
actors
bee
too,
but... on top of somebody's like what the fuck else do you want, people?
Yeah,
like,
that's all you need.
I'm not just for Tim Curry alone. Like, I don't care.
Well, look, I'm going to ask you this question now too, since we are wrapping up our New Year's Nicktoons. Of these five, maybe rank them, or at least give me your top favorite. Series.
I'd say Ren and Stimpy.
You
want to
go Ren and Stimpy? Yeah, that was
Ren
a pretty quick response. So
Ren and Stimpy is definitely. I'm trying to keep it 100.
Yeah.
You know, Ren and Stimpy is definitely my favorite. I don't know. I don't know that I. I mean, I enjoyed Doug and Rugrats, but I don't know if I would rank them that high up. I mean, I think that the second place might be tied between like Rocco and Ah! Real Monsters.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'm actually thinking. Honestly, like just thinking about this tonight and watching these shows again tonight, I feel like the one that I want to go back and watch the most might actually be All Real Monsters, just because thinking about it now, like, there's a lot that, maybe it's because I don't remember it quite as much, but what I do remember, I remember really enjoying, and I don't remember getting bored by it. I don't know. I can remember a lot of the Ren and Stimpy things that they stand out very, very strongly, and Rocko too. But I feel like maybe just the newness or the relative newness of All Real Monsters might be calling me. So I feel like maybe I want to check out a few more of those. But it's definitely been fun going back through all five of these series. It's been a lot of fun.
Absolutely. I think maybe sort of like being an adult now, I think some of the situations that Rocko gets into resonate with me.
Right.
I think having gone through university, you know, the things of like All Real Monsters resonate a little bit more with
me. Yeah, we have more of a context to what they're actually talking about in like the lecture hall and stuff like that. Yeah.
But I mean, I think just, you know, the spastic kind of like crazy nature of just life in general and just sort of the person that I am, I think Ren and Stimpy still resonates with me the most.
Fair enough, man. The good thing is that in all five of these New Year's Nicktoons, I think there's something for everybody out there. It's like each one that we hit was different enough from the one before it that it can find an audience for anybody.
Absolutely.
You know, if you don't like kind of the gross out, kind of hyper-realistic sometimes humor of Ren and Stimpy, you know, check out Rugrats or Doug. If you like something a little more whimsical and creative and gross, then check out All Real Monsters and Rocko maybe. You know, there's something for everybody. So if you remember them fondly as a kid, haven't watched them in 10, 20 years, head over to Amazon, check them out. If you've never watched them before, definitely head to Amazon and check some of these out. And let us know, you know, if you take a watch, if you take a look at them, or if you revisit them for the first time in a couple of decades, definitely let us know. Let us know some of your favorites too. That's about it for New Year's Nicktoons though, man. We're wrapping it up. We're getting back to the regular crazy starting next week.
Hey Dave, in like the next couple of weeks, like what are you up to, like, your evenings? Where can I find you on the WWW?
You can find me just tethered to the internet by an Ethernet cable. Why? Because I'm over at Collider.com. Hey, guess what? We actually have a brand new redesign over at Collider.com. It looks a lot sharper. Yeah, it's a lot cleaner. It's a lot crisper. There's a lot less ads kind of floating around. And you can find not only Collider.com content for a lot of movies and set visits and interviews, all kinds of fun stuff. We've also got a spin-off site. So we've got a TV-dedicated site, Collider.com. The TV section. So you'll see both links up at the top of the page. You can find my content on both sites, but for the most part, I'll be sticking to TV because I cover all the superhero movies. Well, for the most part, all the superhero movies going on throughout the week. So I've got Gotham on Mondays, I got The Flash on Tuesdays, we've got Arrow on Wednesdays, and for a little bit yet, we've got Constantine on Fridays. And then coming up soon, after the Super Bowl, we've got The Walking Dead coming back in February. So I'll do recaps each and every week on each and every one of those shows, so feel free to come on by, take a read, and let me know what you think. That's it for me. Sean, you're a busy guy. What do you got coming up for the next month? Get excited. He's excited, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I'm really very excited. I've been doing a lot of scheduling. You can find me at I'll be performing with Washington Improv Theater as a part of their winter road show that they have that's at the DC Arts Center, or DCAC, in Adams Morgan. You can find me. I'll be performing there on the 31st of January, the 7th and the 14th. It's Valentine's Day, ladies. I will be I'll be performing there for the next 3 weeks. All shows are at 7:30, and you can find tickets at witdc.org. And then, man, I'm super pumped because the end of February, I am flying out to San Diego.
Awesome.
I'm going to be performing at the San Diego Improv Festival on February 20th. I believe the show's at 8:30. We're opening up for another Chicago-based duo group called Dummy, and they are wonderful. So I'm super pumped and excited to head out there and do the show. I will have more dates shortly for March and April, so I'm pumped up. Actually, I think the show that I'm doing this week is totally sold out.
Nice, man.
Like in advance. So that'll be fun.
Congratulations.
It's always nice to know that a show sold out in advance to go and have a pack
ladies,
house.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you come dressed as a nun, Sean will do a special shout out for you.
actually, oddly enough, I believe a majority of the tickets 48 out of the 50 tickets for this week's show were sold to a group from Catholic University in D.C., so that'll be a ton of fun.
From Sister Mary's Convent, 34th and Vine.
Can't wait.
Oh, it's going to be sassy times.
It'll be a blast.
That's awesome, man. I'm super excited. Awesome. Yeah, definitely come on out and see Sean. You can't see me because I'm locked in my house 20 hours out of a day.
Yep. You can also find me on Instagram and Twitter at Sean Paul Ellis. And Dave, where can I find you on the webs?
Oh, on the Twitter, you can find me at Dr. Claw MD. If you're interested in more about Saturday morning cartoons, you can find us on Twitter at Morning Tunes. Remember, that's morning with a U. If you want to check out our site, along with all the show notes and a lot of info for where you can see Sean for his upcoming shows, head on over to SaturdayMorningCartoons.com. Remember, that's morning with a U. You can also check out Sean's handiwork on our Tumblr page, SaturdayMorningCartoons.tumblr.com, and send us all your non-fetish fan fiction, Saturday Morning Cartoons.
Please send that to me.
At gmail.com. If you have a script treatment for the cartoon Nuns, what I'd love for listeners to do is to make an acronym out of that word. I want to know what you turn Nuns into.
That'd be great.
Ooh, we're going to get to work on that right away.
Oh, God.
That's it, buddy. New Year's Nicktoons is done. Moving on with the rest of our lives here.
Oh, my God. So
what do you got coming up for people next week?
Yeah, I think the best thing is that, you know, we have been, you know, we've reviewed 5 weeks worth of, like, really good cartoons.
Yeah. Let's get back to the shit.
Let's get right back into the trash. Let's just dive our way back into this filth. Next week is my pick, and we are going to watch, this is available on YouTube, Jace and the Wheeled Warriors.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you're welcome.
No. I know there are a handful of people that have been looking forward to this.
Oh, man.
Myself included. I know nothing about this.
I watched a lot of Jason the Wheeled Warriors when I was younger.
Okay.
I feel like, you know, because we've been talking a lot about environmental issues, I feel like it'll have a significant impact.
I don't understand what that means, but I guess we'll find out next week.
Ooh, is that a leading question given by Sean? I think it is, David.
I think it is. Hey, you know what, buddy? I'm going to let you do our outro tonight. I want to hear, we've got the Wilhelm scream. We've got the Howie scream.
Oh, no.
This is for posterity here. So I want to hear the Ellis scream. That's going to be our outro. Right, cover your ears, kids.
I'm going to move back a little bit.
All right, go step on a nail or fall off a horse or something.
All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
Ah!
Thanks for listening.